And now the game where we ask very important people about very unimportant things. It's called Not My Job. Retired Air Force General Michael Hayden has been the director of the Central Intelligence Agency since he was nominated by President Bush and confirmed by the Senate in 2006. We are pleased, and we admit a little nervous, to have him join us here. General Hayden, welcome to Wait, Wait.
Thank you very much, Peter. I'm very happy to be here.
Oh, we're happy to have you. So many things we want to talk to you about the intelligence services where you spent your life. We get most of our image of the intelligence services from the movies. You have a movie like Enemy of the State, in which the NSA is constantly observing everybody for their nefarious purposes. We have a movie like 3 Day of the Condors, in which they're actually killing people in order to destabilize the presidency. So my question to you is, which of those two is it?
that's called a Hobbesian choice.
It is.
Actually, I saw Enemy of the State when I knew I was going to be the director of NSA. I was in Korea. My wife knew, and not many other people knew. And I went to the base theater on a Friday night, crowded with GIs. And watching this movie play out, all I could do was sink down in my seat and hope no one would notice who I was.
Oh, come on. You must have been going, I get to do that? I get to watch everybody with drugstore surveillance cameras and dispatch assassins? I'd be excited. No. So what's it really like? Do you have, like, a holiday party, for example?
Actually, we had 4 holiday parties among our different offices, and we made the rounds. And one of the real upsides is we're kind of organized geographically. So, well, we went from the Kielbasa to the Baba Ghanoush and walked our way through most of the world.
Okay, so let me ask you, though. How seriously do you guys, the CIA, take that Secret Santa thing?
I'm sorry. These are some things I'm just not at liberty to comment.
There you go. Because we imagine you guys are like commandeering satellites to find out what's in the bag, you know.
General, do you mind if I call you 86?
No.
I'm speaking directly.
Warm and personal.
I'm speaking directly into my pen right now, so I assume you can hear me.
Yes.
Now, it apparently is true, though. We were looking into your background, obviously 4 decades in the Air Force, but you yourself were, as they say, in the trade, an operative of a kind yourself, weren't you?
I was. I was the air attaché in Sofia, Bulgaria in 1984 to 1986 during the communist period there, and that job is essentially during that period in that country, you're an intelligence collector. That's right.
Really? So you're out like actually spying on people?
We were what was called an overt collector, but we would travel throughout the country, try not to be noticed, see things that we could see, particularly of a military nature, and report them back.
What do you mean, try not to be noticed? How do you do that?
You roll out of bed about 3 in the morning. You don't shave. You slip on yesterday's clothes. You go downstairs. You'll walk to the train station, try to quietly get on the train and take it from Sofia out to the Black Sea, knowing that armored brigades need train systems in order to service themselves. And you pass by all 4 armored brigades in the Bulgarian military by the time it was mid-morning and you're out on the Black Sea. And you try to do that unnoticed. Just take a look at the brigades as you go by and understand what kind of equipment they have and what kind of readiness status they have.
Oh, but wait a minute. Where in that process do you romance the beautiful women? Because
I got an answer for that.
Yeah, when?
When I get back home.
Oh, he's good. He's good. That's how he rose so high, by being politic.
General, I have a question.
Yeah.
I took my son to the spy museum about 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and he had a tantrum, and I was wondering if you have that on film.
I don't know that we do, but let me promise you one thing, Paula. We're never destroying any videotapes ever again.
Oh. None of that. You must know, it occurs to me that you must know some amazing, perhaps even hair-curling, serious stuff. Is there anything that you can tell us that would, like, shock and scare us?
We won't tell anybody.
Really?
Put that line. Can you keep a secret?
Oh, so absolutely.
Yeah. So can I.
Yeah. Oh, good. Very good. I understand. That's great. So I want to ask you some slightly more serious questions. We know that there's been some talk about keeping you on at CIA. Can you tell us anything about that? Have you heard anything?
What I can tell you is that people like me serve at the pleasure of the president. And, you know, if the president were to ask me to stay on, it's certainly something that I would consider to be an honor, but it's entirely up to him. And, you know, and that's kind of a pro forma answer, but at the heart of the matter is the president's got to be comfortable with the heads of his secret intelligence services. And so it's really the president's call.
Have you done anything to suck up, like send a message to President-elect Obama and say, by the way, if you want to know what Michelle wants for Christmas, we happen to know.
No, but that's an interesting idea.
I'm just saying.
Sir, is it something you wanted to do, like, since you were a little kid?
No. Actually, it's you know, I joined the Air Force, and intelligence seemed to fit my academic background and kind of personality bent. And it just led from one assignment to another. And believe me, when the president called me about 2.5 years ago and said, hey, I've been thinking, that was the last thing on my mind.
That he'd been thinking?
You know, that... Ouch!
You said that.
No, I don't believe you took that meaning from it.
What do you mean took that meaning? I heard it clearly.
The
I was speaking right into my
mind
pen.
That he would ever choose me for this job.
Oh, well,
and
you should have said that.
And when he did, I mean, you know, you got a small range of correct answers to that question.
I understand.
And here I am.
There you are.
You got to look at your post-its a little more carefully.
One last question, General. We know, because you love to talk about it, you're a big Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
Indeed.
Grew up in Pittsburgh, right?
Yep.
Yeah, they even have a street named for you, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, they threw up a sign around Heinz Field for a week or two. Yes, they did.
That's great. Now, it occurs to me, we all remember what happened when it was discovered that the Patriots had been secretly recording the other team's signals.
I did, yeah.
That you have it in your power to... give a little edge to your friend. You ever tempted to send them over a little surveillance, you know, satellite surveillance of the other teams?
Nah. It's, you know, the Steelers are so fundamentally sound, they don't need much help from me.
Really?
Oh.
So you guys absolutely had nothing to do with what happened to Tom Brady earlier this season?
No.
No, absolutely deny it.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, General Michael Hayden, we are pleased to have you with us. We have asked you here to play a game we're calling...
It's Nutritious, Delicious, and often comes with a prize.
Everybody in America gets up and starts their day by eating a brimming bowl full of highly processed, crispy, sugared tidbits that are found nowhere in nature. But nobody ever asks why we do that. Well, Mental Floss magazine did, and based on their history of breakfast cereals, we're going to ask you 3 questions about them. Answer 2 questions correctly, you'll win a prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice, on their home answering machine.
Okay.
Carl, who is CIA Director Michael Hayden playing for?
Peter, he is playing for Tony Leon, of Fond du Lac, Wisconsin.
All right. Ready to play?
Okay.
All right. Breakfast cereal was first marketed, of course, by W.K. Kellogg. He was challenged by the upstart C.W. Post. Post started advertising his products, which was a daring move at the time. So Kellogg came back with what successful campaign for his cornflakes? Was it A, he took out ads telling women to, quote, wink at your grocer and see what you get, unquote? Was it B, the slogan, it pleases the mouth and cleanses the bowels? Or was it C, he took out ads claiming that cows who were fed cornflakes gave twice as much milk, so why not try it yourself?
None of those sound especially attractive. I'll go with B.
You're going to go with B, it pleases the mouth and cleanses the bowels.
Yes.
Now, actually, it was A.
Oh.
Women were encouraged to wink at their grocer. In a promotional scheme, if they winked at their grocer, the grocer would turn and hand them a free box of cornflakes.
Oh, my goodness.
Which they would then try. It was a huge thing. They sold millions of boxes. All right, you're still all right.
Okay.
Next question. With more and more cereals appearing on the market, marketers of cereal tried using distinctive names to catch the consumer's eye, such as which of these? Was it A, Rolled E.O. Poly Holy Oats? B, Mackenzie's Vim and Vigor Restoring Wheat Fragments. Or C, University Brand Daintily Crisped Flaked Corn.
I'm going to go with A, Peter.
You're with A, Rolled E.O. Poly Holy Oats.
Yes.
You are the director of...
Currently, CIA.
Current CIA, yeah. Central Intelligence Agency. You know stuff.
Yeah.
You find out stuff.
But apparently not this stuff.
I'm just going to... Actually, no, it was C. It was University Brand Daintily Crisped Flaked Corn.
Oh, my. And I'm not doing very well for Tony at all, am I?
No, not at all.
I'm sorry.
Last question, though. Here's your last question. You get this one. A now-forgotten cereal called Force introduced the first cereal mascot, Sonny Jim. A gentleman in a top hat became a huge hit. So other cereals rushed to create their own mascots, including this maybe ill-advised attempt. A, the box for the cereal called Elijah's Manna, included a picture of the biblical prophet Elijah. B, Toothless Joe cereal, featuring a picture of a lovable old silver miner. Or C, Teddy Rex's Fortified Chex, a mix of dry corn and walnuts that tried to trade in the image of President Roosevelt.
I'm going with the president on this one.
You're going to go with, as you often do. You're going to go with Teddy Rex's Fortified Chex.
Yes.
It was actually Elijah's man.
Oh, my goodness. I should have gone with the Holy One.
You should have gone with the Holy One. Absolutely. Carl, how did General Michael Hayden do on our quiz?
Well, he had a perfect score, Peter. No correct answers. And he needed at least two to win for Tony Leon.
Michael Hayden is a retired four-star Air Force general. He is the director of the CIA. General Hayden, thank you so much for joining us here. Pleasure to have you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
good luck to you in New York.
Okay. Thank you.